In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We are called to rejoice. We are called to be a joyful people. Today, the trend of Advent switches from lament and sorrow for our sins to the rejoicing, and it's marked by our pink candle here. I hope that when you come to church, that as a result of being here, you go away happier, rejoicing. So often when we look at people's faces, they carry a heaviness about them. And often as they go out of church, maybe they're no different than the way they came in. We should go rejoicing. We used to have a man here called Len Gray. Some of you will know him. He was a headmaster, a wonderful musician, and a reader here at St. Andrew's Church. He said to me, well, you know, one day for years I used to go to a church in Saffron Walden. And on Sunday nights they used to have a service together for about an hour in the church. And on the way back from the church, he used to pass the pub. And he used to say, you know, as I looked into the pub, people seem a lot more happier and full of joy in the pub than they had been in the church. And he wondered why that was the case. So often I think our Christianity can seem grey. We carry, obviously, the weight of the world so often. But also there should be something wonderfully about uplifting about our faith in coming to know Christ. And so on this Sunday, we are called to rejoice. By the way, if you want to encounter the presence of God, then you need to rejoice and be thankful. Why do I say that? The scripture says God inhabits the praises of his people. God inhabits the praises of his people. Those of us who learn to rejoice, even in difficult circumstances, and lift up our hearts, as we do that, so the presence of God comes down. And perhaps the reason that we cannot be joyful and we don't encounter the very presence of God in our own life is because our life is full of complaint. Sadly, as we get older, we tend to complain more. It comes with our physiology. Grumpy old men. I'm reminded constantly by members of my family, Dad, don't become a grumpy old man. Because they encountered somebody who was younger and full of life and full of enthusiasm, was optimistic and hopeful for the future. And yet all of us, physiologically, as we get older, so we become more of people of complaint. Watch that. Because it can distort our human condition. You see, if we really understand that we encounter life in Christianity, then we should be joyful. We should go out of here changed and be good news as we go into the rest of the week. Today we light our pink candle. Now you think to yourself, what on earth joy? What has that got to do with John the Baptist? After all, he called the people to repentance. He was quite a harsh figure. They came to him out of the desert and he said, repent. Brood of vipers, he called them. What has pink got to do with John the Baptist? Well, remember this. It was John the Baptist who stood at a distance and looked at Jesus and said, behold, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So maybe that's why his color is associated with rejoicing, because it was he who proclaimed, this is the one who will take away the sin of the world. And the problems with our world at the moment is the problem of the human condition. You and I, we, all of us, are deeply rooted into sin. And we need to break free of that. And it was Jesus who came to do just that. So maybe John is associated with the pink candle because he was the one who said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was the one who saw in Christ our redemption. Or maybe it was John who brought us baptism. Brought us baptism that said all of our past can be buried and we can rise to new life. It was John who gave us one of the sacraments of baptism in water, the second sacrament being the blessing of the Holy Communion, two great pivotal things in which our whole faith rests. Maybe that's why we have a pink candle for him, because we rejoice, hopefully, in our baptism. It gives us our security. It gives us our life. It's where we are made clean. Maybe that's the reason why we have a pink candle for John. Or maybe it's because he promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the dove that is above our church here in the sanctuary, because he said of Jesus, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And you know, those places where I have found the greatest sense of joy and liberation and gone out into a week changed, or when I've gone to a Pentecostal church where I've encountered something of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Remember, God inhabits the praises of his people. It was when I've gone to a Pentecostal church, and I miss that tradition so much, because there I encountered life and joy and freedom and liberation. Maybe that's the reason that John is associated with pink. Rejoice, godarte. I don't know. By the way, it is Luke's gospel that has the word joy most in its writing, constantly. Holy Spirit, joy. Holy Spirit, joy. Holy Spirit, joy. So the whole of Luke, and it goes on into Acts, of all the books in the New Testament, other than the book of Psalms, it is the book of Luke that has the word joy in it. Why? Because it's through the coming of the Spirit that Luke so much concentrates in the life of Christ that perhaps we encounter joy most. On a Sunday night here, when we used to have evensong, there's a lovely little phrase in the Book of Common Prayer at evensong, and it goes like this. It says, make your people joyful. Make your people joyful. We listen to the news too much, you know. And the problem with listening to the news, it distorts our view of life, and we end up with a lunar landscape in our life, and we think everything's terrible. And it discourages us, and it saddens us, and it gives us a deep lament. But actually, if we really see things as God sees them, or we have a glimpse into the mind of God, we can rejoice today. We can be hopeful. Something that saddened me this week. Barbara and I took two assemblies, about 500 or 600 children in a local school. And we told them about the Christmas story. Something that saddened me was that there were no carols sang at that school. No carols sung. I thought, here are these little lives here, and none of them will know carols like Away in a Manger or Silent Night. or once in Royal David City. And I realise actually that what we've done, we've deprived the children of something of the story of hope. At the end of my little prayer with the children, none of the little children in this huge, vast number of kids, Barb and I together, none of them said, Amen. Because they'd never been taught to say, Amen. And I wondered, for these little ones, where was their hope in the end? How could they rejoice? And what we were doing to them. I think back when I was a little child, I was once, in Wales, in this little church, in this little school. We'd be all called in at this time of year to the assembly. And the headmaster would get on the piano and play wonderful carols, one after the other, and we learnt them. And in that little space, as we heard him play the piano and we sang joyfully together, what it did, it imparted hope into a little child's heart. It gave me a future, a joy that perhaps these children are missing. I don't know. But I pray today for all of us that we will learn to lift up our hearts, particularly as we approach Christmas. Maybe you don't feel like Christmas. Maybe we need to pray for each other. Lord, make your people joyful, to lift up our hearts. Maybe we perhaps we should realize the profound words of John when he said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here's our solution. And perhaps we've took it hugely for granted. I don't know. But I pray today that all of us will be hopeful, particularly as we go into this new year. You know, if you want peace in your life, let me tell you how to get it today. In your home, your family, let me tell you, if you want peace that passes understanding, that is beyond human intuition, if you would like it in your life today, here's the answer. It's in the scripture, we've read it. Start by rejoicing, because then God inhabits his praise and he comes down. If you want peace, start by rejoicing. And then start praying. And then your peace will come. Hear it again. If you want peace in your heart, in your home, in your life, as you go into this week, if you go into the future, if you would like it, here's the answer, says Paul. Start by rejoicing. Then try praying. And then the peace will come. You've got to do the praising and the prayer together, because God inhabits the praises of his people. So together we rejoice as we go towards Christmas. Lord, help us to give up our complaint. Help us to know what it is to be a people who rejoice. Help us to lift up our hearts so that you come down to us. And therefore we will find peace. Something finally that made me really happy this week. Did you see all the multitudes and the great and the good as they gathered at Notre Dame Cathedral? What happened 5 years ago? It was burnt down, wasn't it? And literally in a week, virtually, the money came from all over the world for its restoration. That's a great symbol for me. France, by the way, a very secular country. Wonderful lesson to me. All of a sudden, the resources, the money was found very, very quickly to completely restore this magnificent cathedral. Well, it gave me hope. And maybe that's something of what we were talking about today. So let's live in it, shall we? Let's live our thank you. Let's live our thank you. Let's put legs on it. Live your thank you. Amen.